Couldn't talk to a guck then, I guess, there, Radio Nish, Michael O'Brien, and some Cahir. Technic O'Brien here in the hot seat, folks. We're coming to you live from Dublin City FM. Yeah, folks. Jesus, we've got a fairly hectic program this evening. I'm joined here, of course, by the producer, Lar. How are you doing, Lar?
How are you, Mick?
Good to see you.
Still got to be and you.
It's been a while since I've seen you, actually.
It is, yeah. Where were we? Where were you?
Oh, I was.
Kieran Kelly was here the last 2 weeks.
He was, and yeah, I was globetrotting, and you were globetrotting down around the south of the county, or the country,
the
as
west,
well.
Over in Cork, where Macron, Cork, whatever that is.
That'd be the south, southwest.
That's right. We settled for that.
That
was great. More about that later.
Absolutely. But Larry, seriously, we've a hectic program.
We have a huge show. All right,
go for it.
Tell you,
I'll get a rundown.
I suppose very shortly, in about 10 minutes, we'll have Declan Sinnott on.
Very good.
And that's a huge pleasure for us to have Declan on.
Absolutely.
The show, you know.
Powerful.
After Declan, we have a man. He's just sitting outside, Jimmy C.
Good man, Jimmy.
Drinking coffee.
Fair play to him.
And then 10 o'clock, around 10-ish, half 10, quarter past 10.
Thereabouts.
Luca Bloom.
He will indeed.
All on the phone now, folks, we might say. Yes, not in studio. We would dearly love to have them in studio, but
we wouldn't fit them all in.
Well, you know, they didn't book us early enough, Mick, you know. And then just after half 10, we will be speaking to Wally Page.
Right, good stuff.
And they all have upcoming gigs and things like that, and they're going to tell us what they're doing and things like that. And anybody else that wants to ring, or
We just had a text in from Cahill.
Lovely.
So Cahill's on his way to do a little gig there, I think, himself at the moment. So
how are you, Cahill?
Fair play to him. Hope he's keeping well and all that kind of stuff. So fair play to you. Good you're listening, man.
Mashan Cara.
That's it. Good stuff. Okay, will we play a track, Lar?
You might as well.
We're going to start with Luca tonight and get ourselves into the old mood, all right? Here we go. Just taking off the live album. The album is called Amsterdam.
Startled and struck and frightened to look when a mermaid called to me. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, my sunny sailor boy. Like a man in a dream, for an aged scene, I stood as still as a stone, while the mermaid sang and her melody rang like a memory calling me home. Wow, 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 my sunny sailor boy. Then the sea and the wind and the shores did spin, though my resistance was strong. All the stars in space filled the mermaid's face. She captured my will with her song. Ooh, wow, 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 my sunny sailor boy. Ooh, wow, wow. Sunny cerebral. Somehow I spoke, the enchantment broke. I rubbed my eyes open wide. Like a dream, she was gone. What remained was a song, born on the ebbing tide. Ooh, wow, 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 my sailor boy.
There you go, Sonny Sailor Boy, a song that was written by Mike Scott from the Waterboys many years ago and covered there by Luca Bloom in Amsterdam, in the Paradiso Theatre in Amsterdam, going back, 2006,
yeah,
I think, 2006, yeah, so it's certainly a great recording there, Sonny Sailor Boy. Okay, we have some contact coming in. First one is, how you Mick? I would like to say thank you to all the 4711 gang for a great time and a warm welcome I spent last weekend, in particular the Secretary of State, and for Lars Limos as well. Are you doing a sideline?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Lars Limos.
That's right, yeah. Norwegian bongo player, as I believe he was once.
And that's Brian, who's listened to us in Holland. Good man, Brian.
He made a home.
He did. Fair play to him. Fair play to him.
Our Dutch supplier, as we like to call him.
The very man. Okay, folks. We have got a hectic programme, so we're going to play one more track, and hopefully we'll be going live on the old phone then to Declan Sinnott. But this track in particular I wanted to play... let me give you the phone numbers first before we do. Have you got the phone numbers there?
No.
No, okay, I'll give them out. So it's 086-866-6693 for text messaging. You can also get us through on the landline as well on 01-865-8020, and the emails there, which are active during the programme.
Yeah. Nearly 600 hits, Mick, on the website.
Oh, that's very good.
There you go. lar@shinnae.ie.
That'll get you, yeah.
Or Mick at shinnae.ie.
Go for Lar, though, this one. Yeah,
yeah.
Lar at shinnae.
Because you can't be bothered looking up yours. That's right.
Okay, I want to play this track. I've been dying to play this track now for since I received the CD there about a week and a half ago or thereabouts, and it comes to us from a man called Tommy Sands, and Tommy Sands is part of the legendary Sands family up in Ross Trevor, up there in the border counties there, and he wrote this song, and it's a tribute to the great Tommy Makem, who passed away last year, 2008, and it's simply called The Song Sings On, a tribute to Tommy Makem. Here we go.
He was a ramblin' Irish rover, the Barricade Town. A ramblin' Irish rover, sang the whole world round. When the deer that banjo played would make them sing along, make them sing like Makem sang in the song, sing song. When first I heard him sing, for the Clancy boys around him, they could make the rafters ring. They took the songs of yesterday and tuned them for the day. Give us pride to raise your voice and sing the night away. It was a rambling Irish rover, the Barricade Town. A rambling Irish rover sang the whole world round. Sing like Makem sang in the song, sing song. I sing of Tommy
from a noble music clan. His mother's name was Sarah, and she sang a thousand songs. He took them on his journey, and he made a thousand more. So people coming after, they might know the way we were. He was an Ethelred Irish rumba, the boy who came down. An Ethelred Irish rumba, sang the whole world round. When they hear the banjo play, they can sing along. They can sing like Nick and sang and song.
Yeah, there you go, folks, the great sound of the Sands family, and that's Tommy Sands in particular, and that one is called The Song Sings On. I should be joined on the line this time by Declan Sinnott. How are you doing, Declan?
Hi, Mick, how are you going?
Are you in good form?
Not too bad.
Thank you very much for taking time out on this Tuesday evening to join us here. Good stuff. Declan, there's lots and lots of stuff that we could talk to you about. We could talk to you half the night, but I suppose there's two developments, I suppose, that we wanted to cover tonight. I suppose the whole horse lips thing, because that seems to be very topical at the moment, and also your new band as well, the Small Town Talk.
Okay.
Just take us back a little bit, Declan. You're from Wexford, originally.
I'm from Wexford, yeah.
Wexford Town?
Wexford Town, a townie.
When did you first get introduced to music, or how did that come about?
Well, I suppose I have vague memories of being interested in music long before. I used to sing myself to sleep when I was about 2 or 3 years of age, and from then on for quite a few years. But when the Beatles came on the radio, that was the real deal for me. Not long after that, I managed to get a guitar for Christmas. That was the beginning of it for me.
And what was it about the Beatles, or what was it about the music at that style that attracted you to playing?
Well, I think any generation that's lucky enough to have a band like the Beatles, it's just magic. It just sounds like magic coming out of the radio. The minute, like after 30 seconds of hearing the Beatles, I wanted to live in that world. You know, it's completely irrational. That's me. There I am. That's me.
And did you go in search of other stuff then? Did you go in search of other music?
No, because there was no such thing as going in search of. You know what I mean? You didn't. There was, apart from the radio, you could. And even at that, there was Radio Luxembourg. And there was, I think, 15 minutes a week on RTE that was dedicated to pop music.
My God. 15 minutes a week.
At that time. I can't remember. I can't remember the man's name now, but he was doing us all a favour anyway.
Right.
But there was one or two BBC programmes. But basically, pop music was almost like outlawed, you know?
Mm.
It wasn't like it is now. Like, you remember, there was no internet, there was no CD shop, there was no record shop. There was no access to music except the radio. And for people all around me, nobody had a record player. It just, you know, that came later, but we couldn't afford record players. Record player was like a luxury, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what age were you, Declan, when you got your first guitar?
13.
And can you remember where you got it? Can you remember when you started to get a sound out of it, or how did that happen? Or
that was pretty slow in happening, because as well as that, there was no access to teaching. Or I knew one cousin who could play like three chords, but that was all. I used to watch the Beatles' Hands or whoever was on the television.
Right.
I'd watch the shape of their hands, and then when the program was over, I tried that shape, and if it sounded good, I reckon that was a chord.
My God. You know? My God.
I mean, it was that. And we're talking about 1963 in Wexford, which is backward enough, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not any more backward than half the towns in the country, but it, you know.
Yes.
That's the way it was.
And what was the music scene in Wexford at the time? What was the general kind of music scene at the time?
There was. Well, music scene sounds very sophisticated, but there was one or two show bands.
Yeah.
There was a guy called Louis Doyle who did Buddy Holly covers. I remember seeing a band live who did a few Beatles songs. I thought that was incredibly exciting. And then there was some folk music. There was like ballad groups.
Yeah.
There was no traditional music that I knew of. Later on, I just, like, there was a cultus, but there was no real traditional music, if you like.
Right, right. I was reading reading Larry Kerwin's, you know, Larry Kerwin from Black 47.
Yeah, I know. Larry and I played in a group. The first group I ever played in, Larry was in it with me.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the name of the group?
The Southerners.
My God. And what kind of an outfit was that, or what kind of a...
It was ballads. At the time, the Johnstons and the Ludlows and bands like that were having hits in the Irish charts. And we had a girl singer and we had three fellas and we sang harmonies and we sang, we all sat down together to hear the Nightingale sing.
Yes.
Songs like that.
Yes, yes.
Travelling People, The Jug of Punch, Brennan on the Moor, these kind of, you know, very well-known songs now, but there was a fad for that, as you probably know.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the time.
Yeah. Well, Larry Kerwin makes several references to yourself as being a huge influence on him in terms of playing electric guitar.
Larry Kerwin showed me A minor, so I'm forever indebted to Larry Kerwin.
Right.
I didn't know that there were minor chords when I met Larry.
He's achieved an awful lot as well in America, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a lovely man.
He is a lovely man, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Tell us then, the show band scene, was that present as well? Did you get involved in that?
Yes, slightly. Not very much, but I mean, I was wary of it. I reckon it was not the real deal, but there was a group in Westford, or a show band called The Travellers, and I played with them for a small while, just because it was an option, you know, a way to get to play. Like, any way to get to play was good, you know what I mean? I wasn't all that particular about it.
Yeah.
But we travelled, we'd travel long distances and get very little money, and it wasn't really the music I wanted to play, so.
Right.
But, I mean, it was fine, it was a learning experience, you know.
Mm. We had Jimmy McCarthy in here recently here on the programme, and he spoke again at length about yourself, and he talked about a band that you were involved with him, was a band called Southpaw.
That's right, yeah.
What year would that have been, Declan, or what kind of era would that have been?
About 78.
Was that a kind of a step forward in terms of original material and so on?
I suppose it was, really, yeah. It was, for me it was. I suppose it was the first time I was in a band that did basically nothing but original material. It actually started out as my band.
Right.
I had this idea to form a band in Cork, and I got a few fellas together. And Jimmy came along and said he wanted to play rhythm guitar, and he wouldn't need to sing or anything like that. But very quickly, that all changed, because Jimmy had great songs, and that couldn't be ignored, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And then I suppose there was the whole Horse Lips thing. When did that come about?
That was much earlier than Southpaw.
Yeah.
That was 1970. I played with a band called Tower Telephone, which was... I moved to Dublin, and I remember I had nowhere to stay, I had nothing to eat, I had no money, no anything, but you just had to be in Dublin no matter what it meant, because that's the only place where you're going to find decent music and all the rest. So I'd go to folk clubs, and I'd put my name down for a spot, and you'd get up and you'd do two of your own songs or something like that. And at one of these things, I'd done three or four of them, and then Eamon Carr came up to me and said, I have a little poetry music group going. Would you like to join in with this? And I did. And we did that for, I'm not sure for how long, months rather than years anyway. And towards the end of it, Eamon said he had this other band going, an electric band. And it was actually meant to be a rock band. It wasn't, there was no traditional influence in it at first. And so I said, sure, might as well. Yeah, and I went along with that. And we started practicing. And it was a pretty bad rock band, so the traditional thing came in partly because we were offered a TV program, one song per week for 6 weeks on an Irish language TV program. So we could, by playing tunes, you could get around the language thing because you didn't have to sing at all.
Yeah.
And But also we found that the band was better at playing something with a traditional bass, because some of the people in the band had learned traditional tunes and stuff. And then I felt like Horse Ups was an accident to some extent, you know.
What an accident, though, really. In fairness, because in terms of the merging of rock music or rock music and traditional music, it was probably one of the first real developments in terms of that.
Well, Fairport Convention were well ahead of that, and so were East of Eden. So, but in Irish terms, it was the first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first of Irish music with rock music.
When I look back and when I hear the CDs and the songs and occasionally you get clips on the television or whatever, there seemed to be a whole mania that surrounded that as well.
There was, yeah.
How mad did it get, like, then? Or how insane did it get? Or how good did it get?
Well, my viewpoint on Horse Lips is quite different, in that I didn't think the music was all that good. I didn't think the band was all that good. I never have. And I couldn't understand the mania. I mean, I saw it happening. Like, the first, we were playing for like 50 people, and we were playing down the Trinity Arts Centre at the back of Trinity and places like that. And then we got a gig, bottom of the bill, on a long bill. I think Manfred Mann or somebody like that was top of the bill. And it was in the RDS. There was about 6,000 people at it. And we went on first, and we got a standing ovation. People went berserk for us.
Mm.
And we went from being very unknown to being suddenly thrown into the limelight, like really suddenly. Like, the next gig we did was in the Mansion House, and there was 500 people turned away or something. But I'd never understood it. I still don't understand it, in fact. I can understand there was a kind of a glamour to the band, but musically I thought it was so weak that I didn't understand the success.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing to hear that, because I suppose when I listen to some of the CDs and I listen to some of the music on it, I kind of picture myself back in the early 70s and hearing this for the first time. Like, it certainly was a new sound.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It just wasn't my cup of tea. It wasn't what I intended to do anyway. Like, 10 years later, I was playing with Moving Hearts.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great band.
Right, okay.
A far greater band for my...
And what was the difference between Moving Hearts for you and...
Well, I suppose I'm more of a musician than I am for me, it really worked as a band.
Right.
All the guys could play properly.
Yeah.
And by properly, I mean there was a certain standard of playing that... and it was just an incredibly exciting band, you know?
And what about the political element to it as well? Was that something you were attracted to?
Yes, it was, but I mean, attracted to sounds like we formed Moving Hearts, basically. Christy and Donald came over to my house and said, we had this idea for putting a band together and using electric instruments as well. Mm. I think part of what happened was that Christy had been coming to see Southpaw, the group Jimmy and myself had, in the meeting place in Dublin, and he booked us for one or two gigs as well. And he was a fan of the band, and I think he wanted to... He was thinking of some way to blend the kind of thing that we were doing with what he had been doing up till then.
Yeah.
And so we got a band going, and I think Donald had ideas about... Davy Spillane was living in the same house as Donald, and I think Keith Donald came along. He heard about what was going on and volunteered himself. He thought this sounded interesting. I think I brought the rhythm section along, Owen O'Neill and Brian Callan. But it was, all the players were really good, and on a good night, the band was just incredible, you know, incredible.
Yeah. Again, some of the recordings as well, like it seemed to be, it was a new sound again, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Definitely.
And as you said, certainly with a kick to it, and the whole lyrical content as well, I think was new in terms of that type of music as well.
It was. Part of that was the times we were in. I mean, the whole hunger strike and the Mays prison happened, coincided with the band getting going, you know?
Mm. I've read and I've heard about things about Moving Hearts being a co-op band.
That's right, yeah.
Was that uncommon, or was that quite common in them days?
It was uncommon. And it wasn't just a co-op band, the Road Crew were in it as well.
And what did that mean for our listeners, Declan? In terms of a co-op band, what did that mean? That everybody had equal shares and equal parts, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Everybody got paid. Like the money was, I think there was 10 of us, 7 in the band and 3 in the crew, and you just divided everything in 10 parts and everybody. But it was right down to stuff like when we went on the road, we would cook ourselves because it was cheaper to do it. And we would take turns. I don't think the crew was involved in cooking because they would be working when you know. But basically we took turns in cooking. And talking to business people and record companies, they found it really frustrating because we didn't have a leader as such.
Yeah.
You know. In many ways, Christy was the leader, but by necessity, but it didn't work out like that, you know. They ended up talking to all of us. It was a very hippie ideal in ways, but a great ideal too, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in terms of pressure as well, we was under pressure because of the hunger strikes, and you were very outspoken in terms of the hunger strikes. Did you come under pressure politically?
I didn't feel it very much. I'm not sure how to answer that. I didn't. We were well worked up. You know, we would have ignored any old shite that was thrown at us anyway. You know, we wouldn't have been very timid about any of this. You know,
you'd have went for it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we felt fairly fierce about it. Most of us did anyway. You know, yeah. And we also felt that. There was this thing in the South, and it seems to have always existed, where they separated from the North. They didn't understand what was going on there, really. They kind of swallowed the media line on it, which was pretty biased against the nationalist congregation. You know, mostly through Christy, I suppose, we got an insight into how different the reality was to the media perception or the media portrayal of the situation, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was very frustrating.
I'm sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even during the hunger strike, the Irish papers didn't seem to be able to stand against Thatcher, you know, and see how ridiculous the whole thing was, you know?
I think it's certainly, certain elements of music and certainly Moving Hearts and so on brought that awareness to people. And from time to time, I have people ringing in here in the program requesting Moving Hearts songs. And they relate to me all the time, the gigs that they were at or the anti-blanket protest gigs that they were at the anti-internment gigs that they were at that Moving Hearts played at all the time. So it's still very much alive in people's memories.
Well, another thing that happens with me is that Christy and I play No Time for Love. No Time for Love represents to me the most political statement we made in some ways, you know, and the most powerful political statement we made. And when we play the song, I'm still much more fired up. I take a solo at the end of it, and I still feel the same kind of rage almost that I felt at the time, you know, and it fires me up to an incredible extent, you know, more than almost any other song we do.
Wow, that's amazing that could still happen, you know, so many years later.
It's kind of written into my DNA now, almost, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think the song says, I mean, some of the lines in the song, like the line about the people whose class or creed or belief was their only mistake, I think that's such a powerful line.
Yeah.
And it triggers an emotion in me every time Christy sings it, you know?
Wow, that's amazing. After Moving Hearts, Declan, what happened for you, or where did you go, or what went down for you after that?
Well, Christy had basically introduced me to Mary Black, and on a few different levels. First of all, he did a concert hall gig where he asked Mary to sing, and she didn't have anybody to play to accompany her. And Christy asked me, "Would I do it?" And he suggested we get together, and we played a gig, and it worked out quite nicely. And then she asked him to produce an album for her first album, and he said it wasn't the kind of thing he did, but maybe I would have a go.
Yeah.
And I did, and so basically the next 13 years, that was my main preoccupation was working with Mary.
Traveling the world.
Traveling the world, yeah, Australia, Japan, America, and everywhere. But and it was great. It was a great time, and we went from playing to small crowds to playing to big crowds and getting popular and really enjoying the whole trip, you know.
Great, great. Did you continue to produce albums as well during that time, not just for Mary but for other people, or did that come later?
I produced Mary's albums, but apart from that, my memory's not that clear. Not that much, anyway.
Mm, mm.
After I stopped working with Mary, I got involved with Sinead Lohan. And that was a project that where I wanted to control the whole thing. I didn't want to use a band. I had this idea that I would just play everything and make an album that way. And it took a long time because there was a lot of learning curves to be done. But I got into learning how to record on computer and use samplers and all of that. Every form of cheating known to the underhand musician.
Very good. I have to say, Declan, that was a brilliant album. That Sinead's first album, absolutely powerful. Was it Bee in the Bottle? Was that the name of the album?
No, that was the name of the first song.
That was the first song, was it?
What was the name of the album?
Send Me a River, that was another song on it, wasn't it?
Yeah. The last track is the name of the album, and I can't remember.
It escapes me as well, but...
That's dreadful, but anyway.
Brilliant album, absolutely, absolutely brilliant album. And did you produce John Spillane's first album as well?
I did, yeah. Under kind of similar circumstances. There was a few more musicians on that, but basically it was John and myself beavering away there for quite a while.
Yeah, that was The Wells of the World, isn't that right?
That's right, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. You got back playing with Christy then some time ago, and Christy has spoke to us at Lent in here himself about how you just came to meet up again, and it really seems that yourself and himself are inseparable at this stage.
It's a bit like that. Like, apart from working with Christy, he's been responsible for a lot of things that have happened in my, a lot of good things that have happened in my life, including working with Mary Black, and so I have a lot to thank him for. But it's at this stage, it's a great relationship, and it has been for quite some time, you know.
So tell us, Declan, the new band that you have at the moment, the band that you're gigging with at the moment, Small Town Talk. Where did that idea come from, or how did that come to be?
I kind of had an idea that I wanted to play with the band on a casual basis, but I wanted to play with a band that really worked. And I knew two people, Hank Waddell, who wrote the Listen song on Chrissy's album. Hank and I have been friends, and I for years now I've been sitting in. If he gives me a shout and says the guitar player is not available tonight, are you free? I'd always go and do that. Or he has a little gig in Cork, himself and Ray Barron, and I'd sit in on that gig regularly, and we've had a musical relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
And I always had the idea that Hank and I should do something. And then there's a drummer, Martin Leahy, he's basically the best drummer I've ever played with. And I had Hank and Martin, and I had this idea that I would form a band, but I didn't know a bass player who was the perfect other person. And then this woman, Eleanor Healy, came back from... she'd been living in New Jersey for a long time, and she came back. And I knew her playing already, and the minute I played with her again, I thought, yeah, this is it. This is exactly the four people, the three people plus myself that I need to... that I think could be magic, you know.
So what kind of program or what kind of set are you doing?
It's varied enough. I think we've a sound that's fairly distinctive. It's an acoustic band, two acoustic guitars, double bass and drums. And Martin plays so quietly and so in sync with everything that we sometimes play without any PA system, even though it's a band. We've done four or five gigs with no PA, including theatres with about 90 people in them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's something else to people just don't do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that that we can afford to do it, if you like.
Yes.
But we play some of Hank's songs, like we play the Listen song, we play I Will from Christie's album.
Yeah.
We play some other of Hank's songs. We play a couple of blues things. We play some Grateful Dead stuff. It the material is very varied, but at the same time, I think when you hear the band, you get the feeling that all the music sits together, you know? Hank and I sing the bulk of the material, and Eleanor sings two songs during the night, and Martin hasn't been convinced to sing yet, so he can sing.
He's working on, yeah. Is there an album in the pipeline?
Yeah, we've done some recording, and I'm not happy yet that we've got what we want, but yes, there is, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to sit down and get serious soon.
Good stuff. Where can people see us at the, over the next while?
We're playing Macroom next Sunday in the Briary Gap Theatre. We're playing, let me see, the 27th is Bandon in the Town Hall. I'm not good. Killarney, the INEC, the acoustic room in the INEC is the 28th of August. We're playing the Crane Bar in Galway on the 26th of August. And my memory will not go any further than that.
Okay, we'll pull them off the website or off somewhere, and we'll announce them again anyway.
Sounds great.
Declan, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I'd love to do this live in the studio sometime, and maybe you'd play some music for us and sing a few songs and that kind of stuff.
That sounds good.
Brilliant. We wish you well. We wish you well with what you're doing, and you know, we'll certainly encourage our listeners to go along and see you and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Well, thanks a million, Mick. I really appreciate it.
Not at all. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Declan Sinnott.
Take care.
The law, we call it apartheid, internment, conscription, partition, and silence. It's a law that they make to keep you and to be where they think we belong. They hide behind steel and bulletproof glass, machine guns and spies. And they tell us who suffered the tear gas and torture that we're in the wrong. If they come in the morning, no time to show tears or for fears in the morning. No time for goodbye and no time to ask why. And the sound of the sirens, the cry of the morning. They suffer the torture, they rotted in cells, they went crazy, wrote letters and died. The limits of pain they endured, the loneliness got them instead. Courts gave them justice is given by well-mannered thugs. Sometimes they fought for the will to survive, more times they just wish they were dead. No time for love if they come in the morning, no time to show tears or for fears in the morning. No time for goodbye and no time to ask why. In the sound of the silence, the cry of the morning. They took away Sackville and Zitti, Connolly and Pierce in their time. They came for Newton and Seal, Bobby Sands and some of his friends. Boston, Chicago, Saigon, San Diego, Warsaw and Belfast. And places that never make headlines, the list never ends. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show tears if her fears in the morning. No time for goodbye and no time to ask why. And the sound of the sirens, the cry of the morning. The boys in blue are only a few of the everyday cops on their beats. CID branchmen, informers and spies do their jobs just as well. Kind of the men who tap phones, take photos, program computers and files. And the man who tells them when to come and take you to yourself. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show tears if her fears in the morning. No time for goodbye and no time to ask why. And the sound of the sound. so long as we do it alone. Say it or do it with comrades united and strong. They'll take you for a long rest with walls and barbed wire for your home. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show tears or burn the ears in the morning. No time for goodbye and no time to ask why. And the sound of the silence, the cry of the dead. All you people who give to your sisters and brothers the will to fight on. They say you can get used to this war. That doesn't mean that this war isn't done. The fish need the sea to survive, just like your comrades need you. And the death squad can only get through to them the first they can get through to you. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show tears if they're tears in the morning. No time for goodbye and no time to ask why. And the sound of the silence.
There you go, folks, the sound of the great Moving Hearts and the sound of Declan Simmons' guitar. Just had him on the phone there for an interview, some comments on the programme. Declan has been fascinating to listen to, and to your recollections of your work over the years. I love how you have interpreted songs through the years, and at the moment I especially love your rendition of I Will. It is really beautiful, and that's Olivia, who's listening to us. Lara, where's she listening to us?
Drumcondra,
good stuff, fair play, just down the road. Okay, folks, next up on the bill here tonight, a very busy programme, as we said earlier on at the top of the show. I'm joined in studio by a man who, I suppose, up to quite recently, was a listener of the programme, but he is sitting across from me here tonight. And, folks, Jimmy C is in studio. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Evening, Mick.
How are you? Are you well?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good stuff, good stuff. Let me say that you're extremely welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Great. Jimmy, It's an interesting story why you're going to be sitting in that chair. And there's nobody can tell it, honey, you. So you might as well go ahead and tell it.
Before I tell it, I never knew Declan Sinopas from Wexford.
Well, there you go. All good people come from Wexford.
And I'll tell you, me a Tipperary man.
Jeez, you're a brave man to be saying that in the studio, I'll tell you that.
A yellow belly and a tip man, honest to God, I'll tell you. Yeah, I never knew that. And plus that he loved the Beatles.
Mm.
I like that as well. I loved the Beatles. Mm. Grew up with the Beatles.
They were responsible for a lot, weren't they, really, the Beatles?
God, the Beatles.
Do you know, every person or every second person that sits in that chair, Jimmy, says exactly what you've said. The Beatles, you know, that I love the Beatles, you know. I could never see what the Beatles had, to be honest.
Oh, I love
them. Maybe I'm just too young, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Jimmy, come on, tell us...
Gosh, how I'm here.
How you're here.
Well, I've been gigging one man for years. I've been involved in music.
Yeah.
One way or another since way back, you know what I mean? I mean, God, way back, I mean... My youngest brother, I remember singing Cliff Richard songs to him in the cot.
Well,
I don't know if you remember Cliff Richard or
not. No, I don't.
singing And I love singing. I loved, well, you'd have to know Living Doll, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That was re-released then. Yeah. And that kind of thing. But singing, and I loved it. And playing drums, I had these biscuit tins that I used to play, and you'd put cushions into different ones to get different sounds, and I learned. I had the rhythm in me for the drums, for the beat was there. And we'd be down in different sheds in fellas' houses, and we'd be playing, and then the lads... And we started off with different bands and worked in there. And it was from Thurles. Actually, I was listening to the show there a while ago, Michelle.
Michelle Skeen, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Thurles, terrific, yeah. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm from Thurles as well.
Wow. They're all Tipperary people.
Tipperary, Tipperdor and a boo. I'm not here to plug Tipperary.
I think Jimmy should become the Lord Mayor of Tipperary. We can start a campaign.
Born in Tipperary, but lived in Thurles. Yeah. And when I heard Michelle, I said, it's great. And actually, you had a ballad group on here from
Rebel Hearts. They were great, yeah.
I have two of their CDs in the car, and how I got them was, I do this gig every year for the past 15, 16, 17 years, Ryan's at Camden Street.
Yes.
So if any of them are listening, Brenda and Mary, or Marie, in Camden Street, every New Year's Eve, the crack is great there. Brilliant. And sometimes the lads will be in there, but when the gig is over at the end of the night, they'll be up dancing on the counter, and you know the live gigs.
Brilliant.
Brenda's be up on the counter dancing, and they were in there one night, I remember. And Marie says to me, do you want to talk to one of them? I was just about setting up to start. But, and I set up Tip again. So they're everywhere, do you know what I mean? Not just the Wexford lads. But how I'm sitting in this chair, I'm privileged to be here when you told me who sat here as well, do you know what I mean? And I've embarked out, started writing songs.
Yeah.
I wrote, one of my songs, You'll Never Know, is the name of it. I wrote that initially as a poem.
Right.
And it was actually called, I Passed a Lady in the Street, was the name of the song. And my grandson sings that, I Passed a Lady in the Street, and he loves it.
Brilliant.
But, I wrote that as a poem, and it was published in, I got it published in Riposte magazine.
Right.
And I said, always I wanted to write songs. I always had this book about writing songs. And Eileen, my wife, she's still with me after all these years. It's great, you know. She says to me, she always knew I wanted to write songs. And she said, but how can you? She said, you have the music in you, but how do you get it into music? And I was listening to the show one night. And I had the old radio beside the bed, and I was trying to tune it in. It wasn't a great old radio, no. It was a bit dodgy, and I was trying to get it right. And I was listening to you, and Luca Bloom was on. And I had a guitar beside the bed. I have a keyboard beside the bed as well. Down in the dining room, I've set a drum set up. That's what I mean. She's still with me after all these years. You
know? God help her.
But I had the guitar beside the bed. And I rang in, and I don't know if you remember this.
I do remember it, yeah.
But I wrote in, I said, any tips on songwriting?
And I remember it well.
And it opened the door, and what he said, just be yourself. And I picked up the guitar, and straight away the song came to me, and I wrote it, just straight away. So I've a great debt of gratitude, I suppose, to Luca Bloom for that, you know what I mean? That it kind of opened the gates and gave me the permission that I needed. That there's something that I couldn't understand about how do you go about it. Mm. And I heard that, and he played a song that night as well. I can't think of the name of it. It's off one of his new album. The new album. I know it now, it's just gone out of my head.
Right.
And he might remember it himself, actually.
Yeah.
But he said, just be yourself, and picked up the guitar, got the chord sequence together, sang it and put it down, did a bit of changes with this, that and the other. Before songs had come to me when I'd be asleep and I'd wake up and the song would be gone, music and all, the whole lot would be there. So this time I had the guitar and what he said, and I wrote it down and put it down and put down the chords and the stuff. And I love it, you know, and the name of that was That Dirty Old Bottle.
We're going to play it, right?
Great.
So here we go, folks.
At his daddy's feet while he lay asleep in the armchair. The kitchen was dark, we'd all gone to bed, and this is what the little boy said. Oh, daddy, I wish you could hold me, tell me you love me so. But that dirty old bottle just won't go. Daddy, I love you so. He's afraid that he would waken all grumpy and scream and roar. Oh, he wished it could be different if he wasn't drinking. Oh, please let go of the funnel that takes all your love from me. And oh, how it hurts me so to hear Mama crying all alone upstairs. Daddy, I love you so. Appeared from that bottle, granted three wishes for free. Guess all he'd need is just one wish for his daddy to be set free. Son, I'm real proud of you. Just so proud. Give us a hug. Come here. Come on. You're okay.
Yeah, there you go, folks. The great sound of Jimmy C. And that one's called Dirty Old Bottle. And text message come in here from one of our regular listeners. Sean and Teresa Gardner out there in Stillorgan. And Sean says that he remembers the night. I remember the night that Luca Bloom was in on the programme. And I remember you reading out the text that Jimmy sent in. And it's wonderful to hear that he took some inspiration from that and went on and wrote some songs. And that's Sean and Teresa Gardner out there in Stillorgan listening to us tonight. That's powerful.
That's just fantastic.
That's powerful. So.
Brilliant.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Jimmy, that song, right? Now, that song is not just an ordinary Moon and June and Love and Dove song, right? That's a fairly heavy kind of song, right? How difficult is it to put that kind of emotion into a song and put part of yourself in there as well? Because to write a song like that, there has to be part of yourself in it.
God, you had me stomached there. I was never expecting that, now I'll tell you, but you're dead right, yeah.
Yeah.
As a small boy, the love that a boy has for his father, you know.
Mm.
And oftentimes when his father would be on the jar.
Mm.
And the emotion that's blocked in, that he can't release and get out, to be able to put it into song.
Yeah.
And the relief of that, the emotion, that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the love that's there, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I hear that song, you know, I've listened to that song in the old Glushton a couple of times, the old car a couple of times, when I'd be on my own or whatever, you know, and it gets you know what I mean? It hits you as well. And it's an amazing thing, it's an amazing gift to have, to be able to transfer from that from yourself into a song and from a song onto CD and for it to give it to other people. It's amazing.
Well, thanks a lot for putting it into words like that. It's beautiful. And actually, today I was talking to Martin Egan and I was talking to him on the phone and he said to me, that's a powerful song that had touched him. And I was delighted to hear that from a singer-songwriter as well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my sister rang me this morning, Catherine. I'm just mad about her, you know. She rang me this morning and I was telling her about another song I'd wrote, you know, You'll Never Know. And She rang me, she said this morning, Jimmy, she says, when the phone, you know the way your mobile and the name comes up, it's modern technology, is terrific. Yeah. Catherine, she says, Jimmy, you're pushing the wrong song. And I says, I love the other song. And she says, that song, she says, it was close to tears listening to it. And I said, thanks very much. And she says the story. So it touched something in her as well. Mm. Not just me. So the song's not mine anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's out there, kind of.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that song, actually, for the when Martin Egan said it's a powerful song, the word powerful I heard, and that song, I'd love to hear Colin Wilkinson sing.
Mm.
I'd love to hear it with a full orchestra behind him. And I don't know if you know Colin Wilkinson. And
I do, yeah.
The
expressive
and the emotion that he puts into songs.
Yeah.
And I said to me, I'd love to hear him record that. You know what I mean?
Stranger things have happened, Jimmy. Stranger things have happened, you know?
Hear it.
Absolutely, yeah.
As a songwriter, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, too, right.
I just recorded it because, just to record it and have it captured, do you know what I mean?
Too, right.
But the emotion is a small by, yeah.
Great.
And in between is the bottle.
Yeah.
And there's no blame. It's beautiful. That it's just the bottle that gets in the way, that blocks that, you know. And then, kind of at the end of the song, it's like the father is free from that, and he's able to say,
yeah.
And it's the unison of the two coming together.
Absolutely.
Oh, but there's emotion. I'm glad you recognise that, and I am. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's powerful. It is. Martin is right. It is powerful. Sing us a song, Jimmy, will you? Give us an old song there.
I'll tell you, I'm tempted. I have, you know, I've loads of songs, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was going to say, Eileen said to me last night, I have a big repertoire, but well, now I've said it, but all in the best intentions, what I mean? But I've such a selection of songs, and I'm tempted, but I won't, because I do this at live gigs as well. And you know, live gigs, the crack is great.
Yeah.
And I have two buddies with me tonight, and they might even join in an old chorus if I sing a song. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never know, I like that. That wasn't intended, though. Sure
no, it wasn't. You never know.
But,
You sing whatever you want to sing.
But you see, there's loads of stuff I'd love to sing. I'm just checking it for it to be in tune. There's a singer-songwriter I love. It's called Harry Chapin.
Bring it.
And so if I'm confined to one song, I'm not sure which song to sing. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a Harry Chapin is had a beautiful song called. I'm checking this for tune.
Yeah.
It's a long song, and then there's a Beatles song when I heard Declan sing it, even though he does ballads and different things and small town folk. I was surprised to hear that he started out loving the Beatles. I'd love to play a Beatles song. And then I'm saying, because, well, it's an Irish show as such, in a sense. I'm torn between the two, but the crack, I'd like to sing an old ballad, and it's one by Christy Moore that I don't hear too often heard. That I don't, and I hope I remember all the words, you know what I mean? I'm sure if I don't, I'll go back over it, you know what I mean?
But
it's one of Christie's that I don't hear too often. One of them I don't hear too often is This Is The Day. It's a lovely song. But
yeah.
The other song is, I think this song, can I introduce the song even though it's not my song?
Jesus, go for it.
It's the way I see Christie's song is, the name of this song is St. Brendan's Voyage.
Yeah.
And it's one I don't hear too often, as I said, but I don't call it that. What I call it is it right or left for Gibraltar. that's what I know it as. And I was in Gibraltar once, and I thought I'd never go anywhere, never travel anywhere, do you know what I mean? For various reasons. And I was in Gibraltar. I remember ringing my friend afterwards, and I rang him and I said, is it right or left for Gibraltar? So we'll take it from there.
Right.
I'll bring it up a bit because, and see how we go, you know.
Right.
I'll move this chair. But I'm sitting in Lucas' chair, I was going to say. But that's how that the songwriting came about, and there'll be more of them, you know. The funny part about this song as well is the old albatross sitting on the rock all the time. A boat sailed out to Brandon the year of 501. And dirty morning when this voyage had begun. Tired of tinning turnips and cutting curly kale. When he got back from the creamery, he hoisted up sail. He plowed the lolly furrow to the nuts
southeast and west. Of all the navigators, then Brendan was the best. When he got low in candles, he was forced to make a stop. He tied up in Long Island, put America on the map. Do you know that Honolulu was found by a Kerry man? Went on to find Australia, China and Japan. When he was touching 70, he began to miss the crack. And turning to his albatross, to see him heading back. And to make it fast, he bent the mast and built a mighty steam. Around the El Fuego and up the Wamba Stream. He crossed the last horizon, Mount Brandon was in sight. And when he cleared the customs, head to tingle for the night. But when he got to Cardinal Blah, he went to douse the drought. He headed straight to Crozier's to murder pints of stout. Around the Ballyferritter and up the Connor Pass. He freewheeled into Brandon, they said was home at last. Is it right or left for Gibraltar? What tax do I take for visit head? Come on, lads. To ride it up to settle down the Ventry Harbour. Said Brendan to his albatross, he said. The entire population came, the place was chock a block. A love nor money wouldn't get your nose inside the shop. The fishermen hauled up their nets, the farmers left their hay. The Kerry people know that saints don't turn up every day. Oh, everything was going well till Brendan did announce his reason for returning was to try and set up house. The girls were flabbergasted at St. Brendan's neck. To seek a wife so late in life and miss a total wreck. Is it
right?
Come on, lads, I'll give you the tenor later. What tack do I take for missing head? I'd love to settle down the Ventry Harbour. Sent Brendan to his albatross, he said. I love this part. Worn down by rejection, had pierced his humble pride. Because, says Brendan, if I run, I'll surely catch the tide. And turning in his sandals, he made straight for the docks. And hauling up his anchor, he cast up from the rocks. As he sailed past the Schmickeland, there stood the albatross. I knew you'd never stick it out, just good to see a boss. I'm bailing out, says Brendan, I badly need a break. A fortnight is about as much as any old saint could take. Is it
right or left for Gibraltar?
What tack do I take for mizzen head? Sure I'd love to settle down the Ventry Harbour. So Brendan to his albatross he said, I'll go whistle now, Tom.
There you go, folks. The great sound of Jimmy C. Live in studio tonight, you're on 103.2 Dublin City FM. You're listening to Sinn Éibhar broadcasting to the world, folks, on www.dublincityfm.ie. If you want to get through to us here on the programme, 086-866-693, 086-866-693 for text messages on the landline on 01865-8020, 01865-8020. Jimmy, just before we finish up, I do want to talk to you about another song as well, and we're going to give it a spin here as well. And this is a song, again, that I've been listening to in the car over the last few days, and a lot of your songs, well, the two that I've heard anyway, they tend to kind of fall into the realm of what's known as social commentary, and that certainly does. This song certainly does. It's, I can picture you walking down Grafton Street. I can picture the woman. I can see her, and I can see you turning around. And I can see you coming back up again as well. And again, you know, it's an amazing thing to be able to do that, to be able to paint them pictures for people, and to hand that over to people to listen to. You know.
Well, because you have a gift yourself in describing that song, Mike, I'll tell you. I wasn't expecting that either, and fair play to you, yeah, well, honest to God. Yeah, walking down Grafton Street, and I saw a lady in the street, and she had a child in her arms. And a lot of people would say she's just another beggar, you know.
Mm.
And I saw her, but what I saw that day was I saw a mother holding a baby, trying to look after her baby, you know. She wasn't begging, she wasn't asking for anything. She was there. And she was looked after by what I saw was, I suppose all I could describe is a higher power or somebody, yeah, that was looking after her. And in the space she was in was holy ground. That she was safe, she was looked after. And when I came back, she was still there, and she had a beauty about her that was lovely, you know. The child didn't know. The child was safe and warm in her arms, and I thought that was lovely. So that's how I came about to write that. And then about walking up and down on Grafton Street, you'll never know who you'll meet. You'll never know who you'll meet.
That's for sure.
You could meet, you know.
Yeah. Jimmy, I want to play this song, right, and I want people to listen to it as well. I want people to listen to the lyrics and to the words. But before we get into this, Jim, I want to thank you very much for coming in. I'm going to invite you to come back in again some other time as well over the next while and come in and sing more songs. I know, like the Harry Chapin songs, right? You were talking about Harry Chapin. I feckin' love Harry Chapin.
That's in the crib.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant stuff. And he's so much great stuff. Come in some night and we'll do some more. Is that okay?
There's a beautiful guitar lick in that as well. It's lovely.
There is, yeah. There's some lovely stuff.
I'd love to say hello to all the people out in Lacken.
Do.
Every bank holiday for years and years and years I've played out in Lacken, and the lads here were often out there in Lacken on the bank holiday night. The crack was mighty.
The head cases,
yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy C and the head cases.
And the head cases. So to Rose and Peter and to Eddie and Mary and Dorothy and Mick and all them, all the gang out in Lacken, because the crack is just mighty. A live gig is great, you know what I mean?
You wouldn't bet.
A big thank you to them.
No problem.
But I'd love to come in again when I write some more stuff and maybe play some of my own stuff later.
Do.
But a big thank you to Luca Bloom for opening the door for me, and I took it, you know.
You did.
And the different songs, and you'll never know. I'd love to hear a woman sing that song.
Anyone in particular?
Yeah. Frances Black was the first one that came to mind. I said to myself, to hear it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, she was here a couple of weeks ago.
So I heard.
Yeah, she was. Mm. She was brilliant. She really was. Yeah. No, she was great as well. Jimmy, you never know.
You never know.
Here we go, folks. Have a listen to this.
Oh, my son plays trumpet on this, Shane. Big mention to Shane.
Good stuff, Shane. Good stuff.
I passed the lady in the street. Child in her arms, fast asleep. Just another beggar, some people say. Has to be more than that on this cold day. Wonder where she'd be, what she'd seen. I felt so hurt when I saw she was blind. Seemed so gentle and so kind. Was still there on my way back, standing silent, not a sound. Standing silent, lonely, lonely, a lonely, holy ground. You'll never know, you'll never know, you'll never ever really know. You'll never know, you'll never know. Just who you'll meet.
Yeah, there you go, folks. The sound of Jimmy C. And Jimmy was just live in studio with us there a couple of seconds ago. And we should be joined here now on the line by Luca Bloom. How are you doing, Luca? Are you in good form? You are. All right, Jerky. Now, this is a big gig on Saturday, isn't it?
Well, yeah, a posh gig on Saturday, Mick. My first time ever performing with an orchestra in the National Concert Hall, and I'm really looking forward to it. Orchestra, some of the guys that played on 11 songs, and hopefully a big crew of people to sing the songs with me.
How special is it for you? Like, you know, I know you've played Vicar Street and you've played other venues in Dublin as well. But in fairness, this is the creme de la creme, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the concert hall, for me, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Some people find it a little bit too, for some people, it's just not casual enough or relaxed enough. But some of the best gigs I've ever been at in my life have been in the concert hall. I think it's an amazing venue. I think it's a credit to the country, actually. And when I got the call there from the concert hall about 6 months ago to see would I like to perform with the orchestra, perform my songs, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm really chuffed to be asked to do it, to be honest with you.
And how different is that for you, Luca, in terms of, you know, adding a whole orchestra set? What do you have to do to make that happen?
Relax.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Because basically, you know, I'm only going to get one rehearsal with them.
Right, okay.
I can practice with the band, all right, but with the actual orchestra, it costs so much to rehearse with an orchestra that every, you know, every rehearsal is usually expensive. So we're just going to have one rehearsal on the day of the gig. But the guy who has written the dots for them tells me that basically the way it works is that I will go and deliver the songs for the people, and basically the orchestra will follow me.
Wow, what a privilege.
yeah, so you know, it's kind of a situation of watch my left foot. I mean, one could be completely terrified if you choose to be, if you were to listen to listen to your head telling you you're mad, you know. I bet you won't be able to do it because, you know, I mean, I walked out on stage in a market square in Ostend in Belgium last Wednesday, and there were 8,000 people standing in front of me, and I walked out on stage kind of the same way I'd walk into the kitchen to make a cup of tea. I was just very relaxed about it. But this is different, you know. I'm not completely in control of this gig. And so I have to just have a completely different mental attitude towards it.
Well, in terms of the songs that you're going to perform, is it going to be the classics? Is it going to be the new stuff? Is it?
Well, it'll be a mixture. It'll be a mixture of both. But it basically, it will be the songs that we believe are best suited to orchestration, which is what we have. I mean, I kind of have it narrowed down now, Will, but, you know. And the other thing about that night is I have a special guest that night, which is Eddie Reader from Scotland, and she's amazing. She's just great. So she'll do a little set in the middle as well. So I think it's really going to be a special night.
And has she been a guest of yours before?
No. We've performed together at Celtic Connection in Glasgow.
Yeah.
A couple of times, and it's which is a beautiful festival. She's a really great woman. She's great fun as well as being a great singer.
Good stuff. If people want to go to the gig on Saturday night, it's the 22nd, so it's this Saturday night coming. I'm sure tickets, is there tickets available?
Well, there are some tickets available, but actually it is selling really well, which I'm really thrilled about. But I know it's not sold out. It probably won't sell out.
Yeah.
But it'll be very, I think we're up to about 700 or 800 now, and it holds 1,200. So it'll be great. It'll be a great night. It'll be a bit of a walk up, and we have a really nice crowd there.
Brilliant. Just before I let you go, we just had an interesting item on before you. We had a man called Jimmy C on the programme here, and he sang two of his own songs here tonight. And I don't know whether you remember or not, but the night that you were here in studio with us, going back, I don't know, was it December, I think, or January, you were in here, he was listening to the programme. He was a listener, and he was listening to the programme, and he'd never wrote a song before in his life. And he texted in here asking what's the secret of writing songs.
Right.
And the answer you said was just do it.
Brilliant.
And he did.
Excellent. Well done, Jimmy.
And so he's after being in here tonight singing two of his own songs. So
how fantastic. Well done to Jimmy and well done to you for giving him some airtime.
Well done, everyone.
Well done, everyone.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Listen, Luca, we wish you well with your gig on Saturday night. We wish you well with all you do.
Thanks very much, Mick. Great talking to you.
There's lots more stuff coming up as well for you between now and Christmas, I'm sure, as well, yeah?
It's all go.
All go. Fair play. Good stuff. And yes, Lara, the producer here, is just saying to me, when are you coming back into us?
I'd say probably, well, I hope to have a new record ready for next March, so maybe sometime around then.
That'll be brilliant. You're welcome anytime, anyway.
Hey, fair play to you, Mick.
Good stuff, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Luca.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Voices cry out. Shells of houses. White-faced children. Hungry eyes. Cruel seagulls, the unwilling traveler would look for the road to survival. Hold my hand a little longer, kick one last look over the fields to the reds and the browns on Diamond Mountain. Bring the smell and the sound to your station. I will be here when you need me. They bring their song line to Australia, scattering magical airs in cities and towns, dreaming road to Diamond Mountain, ordinary wonder. Heather ground. Hold my hand a little longer, take one last look out over the fields.